Welcome to Big Foamy Head, show 47, German Alt Beer.
Kind of a smooth intro because we got some smooth beers and some smooth beans,
some blues,
We got it all: beer, blues, and barbecue.
That's right. That's what we're all about.
And we decided just to do it by the numbers this show. And so, right off the bat, we got beer, and we're drinking German alts, as you mentioned.
Right. This is an alt beer show. It's one I've been wanting to do for a while. I brewed a batch of homebrewed alt beer a while ago.
Yep.
And just about ran out, so we're at the very last few bottles of that brew day.
I guess that's the mark that it was good.
Yeah, it
if
was
they're about
yeah.
out.
The ones really that good. Go fast are good indicators. Anyway, been wanting to do this for a while. Very poor selection of alt beers. I was only able to find two commercial varieties.
And is this one we're drinking? One of them.
This is a close
match. One.
This is the Abita Turbo Dog. And you may ask, why are you putting Abita Turbo Dog on an alt beer show?
Yeah, because the marketing speak here says that it is a dark brown ale brewed with Willamette hops and a combination of British pale, crystal, and chocolate malts. Combination gives it a rich body, color, and sweet chocolate toffee-like flavor. And it's good. It's a yummy, tasty, sweet beer. And you said, do you think it's a German ale? I said, no, I don't know what it was. It's a sweet beer, but...
It's close. It's the Turbo Dog is a little like a German alt beer in style, being a rich, dark ale of moderate weight, and is, in fact, brewed using German alt yeast.
And that's why...
That was the connection.
It's in here.
And then it says, alt beer is a style of beer that dates back to the days before lagering became popular in Germany. And top fermented ales were still the style.
Okay, so this is like kind of the holdout before lagering.
This would be the probably the last ale beer that they were brewing commercially in Germany before moving to all the lagers, the Munichs.
Are there just not a lot of alts now?
They're hard to find. I went to Rate Beer and typed in alt beer, and there came back with a list of maybe 20 or 30, but we don't have access to them here.
Okay.
So even on the different beer runs I've been going on, been looking for them.
Well, it's very good. I mean, you know, I was remarking that your homebrew reminded me of a Marzen style beer, which is a German, like our the counterpart to the mm-hmm. Oktoberfest. But they're all kind of in that same genre, right? They're not. This is not a hophead's dream.
Oh no, not at all.
It's not. It's got the hops in it, but this is getting a little more towards the sweeter notes. And you've got the official
BJCP. It's category 7A Northern German Air Altbier. Its aroma, subtle, malty, sometimes grainy aroma, low to no noble hop aroma, clean lager character with very restrained ester profile. No diacetyl.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Fairly bitter yet balanced by a smooth and sometimes sweet malt character that may have a rich, biscuity and or lightly caramelly flavor. Dry finish often with lingering bitterness, clean lager character, sometimes with slight sulfury notes and low to no esters.
Hmm. Well, the alt, okay, your alt that I had in this Turbo Dog, I would not classify them as lingering bitter. They're not.
I was getting bitter from my homebrew.
Were you?
And Turbo Dog is not a true alt, so it's just an example.
And see,
so.
I guess this is where tastes are subjective, right? Because it's said in the description that it's bitter but balanced by. So it's one of those that different people are going to try it and have a different experience. And you're just going for the next one, aren't you?
Yeah, I think we're ready to have our first commercial variety.
That Turbo Dog did not last at all.
No, it went quick. One of my favorite beers. If you can't get it in your area, the 1554 is very similar.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And we had that before, and we were loving that. Now, this pours dark.
Yeah, this is the Schmaltz Alt.
Schmaltz Alt. And where does Schmaltz hail from?
New Ulm, Minnesota.
Okay, so it's a Minnesota. Okay.
Speaking of Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
We got a feedback from one of our listeners that Two Hearted River is indeed a river. So.
In Minnesota.
In Minnesota.
Yep. And we heard that elsewhere about the river and a few more literary and somewhat feminine references that we're going to talk about in a minute.
Sure.
But the thing about this is, okay, so we're into a different style of beer and we're kind of going over it and sharing all this with you. And that's what beer guys do. They share their information. They try and, you know, bring it on to you in as creative a way as possible, right?
Right. It's going to be a little bit entertaining. You can't love everything. You can't hate everything.
Right.
Possibly we love too many of the beers we drink.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're less critical than we could be.
We were critical last show.
Yeah, that Amber Rose was just awful.
It was sucking ass. But, well, this is – I just took my first slug of it. This is good stuff. It still reminded me of Mars. And it's got like that kind of – sorghum molasses.
But instead of being sweet, I'm getting bitter as an aftertaste.
I'm not getting that. Hmm. See, that's not, we're drinking the exact same beer, and I'm pretty sure the top part wasn't bitter. this is one of those beers I think that would taste different to different people because it's got that balance in there of hops and sweetness and goes all over. To me, when you're saying bitter, to me, might be that what I'm describing is like a sorghum, kind of molasses taste. It's not the sweetest stuff when it finishes. So I've had it out of my mouth here for a little while, and the sweet has gone, and there is, I think I'm now starting to get a little bitter creeping in. And so that would be, I guess,
to me
the
that,
lingering
to me that's the
bitter
aftertaste.
Okay. It took a while.
Which, to me, it's still good. Anyway, this is Shell's Brewery. Unfortunately, I printed out the page and I didn't proofread it prior to bringing it down, and I cut off all the good characteristics.
Well, so. It's a good beer. So we'll have to look that up and bring it back up on the next segment.
Well, as with all the beers, we also have links to them after
right.
the show.
That's so right. That's right.
You can
feel follow
free
the
to
link.
Look it up.
Be sure to use the website. That's what it's there for. So we were talking about beer guys. We need to bring up a beer guy.
Charlie the Beer Guy.
Charlie the Beer Guy.
And speaking of beer.
Speaking of beer is his podcast. And
it's a relatively new show, I guess 6 months?
Yeah, at least. And we called him months ago and said we need to, you know, chat with each other and haven't followed back up. But I like his podcast because you learn a lot. He goes out of his way to try and be creative, put a little production into it. But he's got a real neat hook where he tells you what he's going to drink. Then you go and get it, and you try it and listen along with him.
And not only does he tell you the beers he's going to drink, but he also gives you appropriate
alternatives. That's right. So he really goes out of his way to make this a good beer cast. Well, just like everything else, some people may not like it. And our special friends at the Beer Report just took it upon themselves to not like it.
there was one skit that was redone by another beer show.
Yeah.
Craft beer.
Yeah.
And they played it on their show. So, yeah. The good beer – I'm sorry. The Beer Report.
The Beer Report. Yeah.
The Beer Report played it on their show. So –
they forget our name all the time. We might as well forget them.
It was a little bit disparaging.
Yeah, a little bit. They are just brutal.
Yeah.
They really just, I mean, they just, and the thing is, this is what I found out about the Beer Report. You better get in on the front part of the show. Because by the time they get hammered, they're not going to stop. They're going to rag you to death.
Yeah.
So they pretty much had their way and really were pretty slanderous and things. But it was funny because, you know, they say in vino veritas and wine there's truth. And I heard a couple of things slip out that they're talking about, you know, it's not metal and they're bitching about it and making all kinds of accusations. And then somehow they got to talking about the Two-Hearted Ale.
Right, the Hemingway novel. Yeah.
And they started talking about Hemingway and Nick, the hero of the novel and stuff, and let it slip that apparently our two metal friends are English lit majors.
they're educated, I guess.
They're educated.
Which is good.
I don't know how metal English lit is, but, you know. So I guess, you know, they're going to throw rocks. But Charlie's got a good show. Very good show. I enjoy it.
Well, the good
everyone.
News is that Charlie caught wind of this and he logged into the confrontation board, which is an excellent site, by the way.
Yeah.
And has defended himself quite well, and he's just jumped in, joined the fold.
Yeah. So he'll be on there. He'll be in the mix with everybody.
We recommend a show. He's educational. And
absolutely. And the Beer Report.
And entertaining. And
I mean, we listen to everything.
We like everybody.
We like everybody. Huh? We're, you know, and all beers.
And all beers.
Except for the Honey Rose.
Which was
sucked.
Technically was not a beer. So
this beer that we're finishing up this segment on is the Schmaltz. And so far, I'm still leaning towards yours, your homebrew. I like this. I like them all. But I think yours had a little more character. This is really, to me, closer to the Turbo Dog.
Yeah, it has a good malt flavor to it, a big malt background, I would say.
It does get bitter as you sit, right?
Yeah.
I guess we ought to mention, since we're in the beer segment of the show, we saw Beer Fest.
Again. I saw it again.
You saw it again. And we went at it the right way. We took a six-pack to the parking lot and consumed it before we went in. Watched the movie, then came out and went to the local tap house and drank some more beer. So that made the movie very entertaining.
More entertaining, yeah.
Yeah. It had a lot of gratuitous fake boobs and...
It is what it is.
It is what it is. That's right. You summed it up.
If I were going to write a Beer Fest movie, it would be fairly similar to that.
Yeah, and it'd take you about, what, half an hour?
Yeah.
To come up with that whole script, defend Meemaw's honor, go back to the old country, and win the beer thing by practicing for a year, swilling beer.
Although I would hope to be a little more Animal House-ish.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Well, why don't we get into our next selection? And I mentioned that was Bobby Blue Bland at the beginning, and he's part of the Chitlin circuit. And later on, we're going to get into the blues segment. We'll be talking about the Chitlin circuit and what all there is to offer on that. So I'm going to play another Jody song that I mentioned last show, and we'll finally clear up what Jody is. This is Charles Wilson, Old Man Jody's son. Wilson, who I got nothing on. I can't find any information on him. I know he's one of the guys on the Chitlin circuit. We'll tell you more about that in a little bit and exactly who the hell Jody is.
Did but, Wikipedia let you down?
Nah, yeah, it did. I mean, the least they could have done is tell me a lie, right? So you found out what we were groping around for earlier.
Yeah, I was more successful in my search. The August Shell Brewing Company out of New Ulm, Minnesota make the Schmaltzalt and... let's see, Dark Alt, a German ale, alcohol by volume 5.1%, characteristics, the rich, sweet, malty flavor with hints of licorice, is balanced by a chocolatey bitterness, dark brown in color, and topped by a thick, creamy, tan head. We have things flying around.
Thick, creamy, tan head.
It's got two-row, carapils, Munich, black and chocolate malts, Chinook and Hallertau hops.
Got Chinook?
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, I usually notice that. They must not have used too many. That's what our boys down there in California stone use, which you're going to go visit them here.
That's right.
Shortly.
That's right.
I guess this will technically be in the past. You will have visited them. But since in real world time, you haven't yet.
I'm very much looking forward to this. I'm not a stone pilgrim, but if you look at their 10th anniversary, they have a list of 46 guest brewers that are there. And it's some of the best brewers in the world. So I had to go.
Yeah. This is going to be cool. Some of the best podcasts in the world are going to be
represented
there.
That's right. We're going to have three podcasts there at the same time, at the same session.
It's pretty epic.
It's going to be Dude Night, The Beer Report, and half a Big Foamy Head.
All right. That's right. I'm staying behind, but I'm doing my beer thing with Art on Tap.
Which is our local beer festival, which I would like to go to also, but you can't do everything, I guess.
So we have to our respective assignments to cover these two events at opposite ends of the country. Well, you know, we will go to wherever it takes to bring you the up to the minute breaking beer news.
Yeah, that's why we're doing it. We're doing it for you guys.
That's it. We don't really want to go
because we know how much you guys want to hear about this stuff.
So. Well, all the banging and thudding around in the background and my weird vocalizing is because I keep stuffing my mouth full of these barbecue nachos.
We're into the barbecue segment. So, yeah, over the Labor Day weekend, which is just the weekend past, I did my first butt. Yeah. Never done one before. Read about it.
And we're talking about cooking.
Right.
Okay.
That was too easy. That came out of left field, man. I wasn't expecting that. Right. So my first pork butt, or pork shoulder, more technically.
It's because it butts up against the shoulder. It's actually nowhere near the pig's butt or behind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the front part.
The ham is the back part, right?
You're right.
So
really, a pork's butt is the back of the pig, but it's called the ham. So the front of the pig is
called the
shoulder, but the part, the meatier part on top of the shoulder is called the butt
because it butts up
against the shoulder blade. And the shoulder is really almost a forearm. But pig forearm just doesn't sound that appetizing.
No, it sure doesn't.
Not that pig butt sounds much better, but we all are okay with it, obviously.
Yeah, it's just the what we all refer to it as.
That's what it's called.
People know what we're talking about. Right. So.
But you brought up an interesting point because, okay, well, you cooked.
Right. I did an injection, and actually I'm going to put up the recipe for that. It's one I found on the internet. I thought it came out quite well. And then I rubbed the butt with mustard and then sprinkled all sorts of dry rub all over it. And I smoked it for about 15 hours.
How long did you rub the butt?
Long enough.
That's just too easy.
Yeah.
No, it came out good. And we were having a discussion on the was it the confrontation board? Somewhere. We were emailing back and forth about different techniques.
No, it was Hog Dog at Do Night.
And there's just so many different ways to do it.
Right.
You know, there's people that brine them. You did an injection, and I like a dry rub, and I use mustard on ribs but not on butts. And, you know, there's no wrong way. You can do it all kinds of ways. But you made a real good one, and we are enjoying the last of the butt, I guess. You brought over, and we made some barbecue nachos.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another one of those things where it's hard to screw it up. You can do it a million different ways.
One a little different, one a little away from the barbecue, more towards the Mexican.
More towards the Mexican.
Nachos. So.
And it's good. Got
some refried beans.
Put
some
smoky chipotle refried beans and green peppers and cheeses and all kinds of stuff. And a little barbecue sauce.
On
it. Yeah, it's good stuff. So I also had a butt, except mine was a baseball butt.
You're buying butts from the baseball?
I am buying butts from the baseball team. See, I could have said it was the little kid next door's butt, but I wasn't going to go there. The child next door was selling them for fundraising on their baseball team. There's just no good way to say, yeah, the baseball teams were selling their butts to raise money.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway.
And we're curious. We're curious. Is this a national thing?
Yeah, that's right. That's what I was going to say. You brought that up earlier, which around here, you can get them all over the place,
that's
right?
A typical fundraiser. That's why I haven't cooked one. It's because right. You can typically buy one because right. somebody's doing a fundraiser.
You bought one we had a pig roast. And they were selling extra butts.
Mm-hmm.
You bought one. I bought the baseball ones, youth groups, and our church
mm-hmm.
over these past two weekends. Been selling butts.
Mm-hmm.
So, is this a regional thing? Do people up north or parts east or west, is there anything like that? Do people sell their butts for money or for charity? And we're still talking barbecue here.
Yes.
But good stuff. And my baseball butt was very good. I had a lot of people over, so it was gone in a flash. We had nothing left. And yours is real good. And even though there's only a couple people eating on yours.
Well, both my kids bailed out on me, so it ended up just being my wife and I having the Labor Day meal. But that was all good.
Good stuff. And this is getting now, we're back into a good barbecue time of year.
Yes, the temperatures are dropping. It's in the 80s.
The death heat has left us, and it's getting a little cooler, so good stuff.
It's almost fair time.
It is, and you know what comes with the fair?
Lots of
chili.
Chili
cook-off.
That's
where
right.
We're going to sit and drink mass quantities of beer and cook chili.
They also have a beer judging, but I didn't submit anything.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who's done that. We should look into that.
I do. I know a guy who took first place.
Okay, well, we'll have to follow up on it. I mean, we can, hey. You know, we can get a media pass. We'll go in there, check it out.
There you go.
So, good.
So, we're having our next commercial
beer.
Alt beer.
And this is Blue Creek Alt Beer. Have you got media propaganda on this?
Yeah, it's it's out of Wisconsin.
Black River Falls, Wisconsin.
Black River Falls. And it's a smooth, well-balanced ale brewed with pure water, malts, hops, and yeast, and then cold-conditioned in the tradition of a classic German alt beer.
Is that not lagering?
Yes, it is. And surprisingly enough, it has the four main ingredients of beer. The drinkable nature of this beer and the roasted chocolate and coffee notes present in this beer make it a wonderfully warming beer, a subtle malt sweetness, distinctive German hop aroma and taste, and subtle roasted finish make this one of our favorite styles of beer.
Yeah, this one I puckered a little on this when I drank it. I'm not saying I'm getting as much hops, although they're there, but this was a little twangier than the others.
This is in the orange,
yes, lighter.
Dark golden color.
It is a lot lighter. And you said something, apparently a characteristic for this style is roast malts to get the toffee, the coffee, the caramel, the whatever you want to describe. So that's like a given. You're going to have the roasted malts in these. Good stuff, man. Do we have alcohol by volume on any of these? We haven't even talked about that.
The last one was 5.1.
Yeah? Okay. And so this, the schmaltz was 5.1?
Yes.
And this one, it doesn't say on here. It's at altale.com. I guess we could scour the website and find out. But
I'm not able to find it either. Hopefully the Bryan Heitzgebot doesn't have a limit on it. Like a Bock has to have a certain alcohol percentage.
Well, it's good stuff, man. I like it. Very good. I could drink a lot of these. And alt beers, yum. So we're continuing down our path here. We've done the beer. We've done and are doing the beer. We've done the barbecue, and we're fixing to get into the blues song, and we're going to lead into that. This is Theotis Ely, and this is a little smoother thing. It's called Stand Up In It.
Now this song is going out to all of you players, wannabe players, wannabe pimps, Mac Daddies, or whatever you call yourself. Well, you better get your game face on. Oh, this old lady told me one time, she said, son, you men think you know what women want, but you don't. And then she went on to tell me a story, and it goes something like this. All you wanna be lovers, there's something you need to know. Now this old lady told me a story a long time ago. She said, the oldest men think They know what women want. But the truth about the whole thing is, boy, they really don't. She said, I had a man who thought he was the world's greatest lover. But when you add his time up, he was just a 5-minute brother. He used to lick it. Stroke it. You know, one night we was making love, he said, that thing is so damn good, I wanna put it in my pipe and smoke it. She said, the Otis, you need to know that you can lick it and you can stroke it. Now you can kiss it and you can eat it, but you ain't get a doggone thing until you stand up in it. Mm-hmm. Got to stand up in it. And now this wannabe brother who thought he was the world's greatest lover stopped by my house the other day and caught me with my part-time love. He said, baby, baby, why you messing around on me? I make sure your rent's paid, I make sure your cable's on. Now just the other day, I bought you a cell phone. Baby, ooh baby, why you do me this way? She said, the oldest men think they know what women want. But the truth about the whole thing is, boy, they really don't. Now you can lick it, and you can stroke it, but you ain't did a doggone thing until you stand up in it. Now you can eat it, and you can lick it, but you ain't did a doggone thing until you stand up in it. Oh, you got to stand up in it, boy. Ooh, you got to stand up in it. Yes, you do. Yes, she said, not the oldest. Play that guitar for me like you're standing up in it. I said, all right. I went to London. She said, no, 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 go on. Play it like you're standing, you know, stand up in it. What, stand on up in it. I said, okay then, all right then. I said,
Woman, I said, fellas, I'm gonna tell you something now. You was right, too.
And the moral of this story is that you can eat it, stroke it, lick it, do anything you want to do with it, but you ain't did nothing until you stand up in it.
Back, and I hope all you players and Mac Daddies and wannabe gangsters had your game face on. So you
wannabe tips.
Got right down there and stood up in it.
Yeah.
Says Theotis. I hope you're paying attention to that.
If you did not, if you skipped that song, go back and listen.
Yeah, go back and listen. Because that is, I don't, this is, there's a reason why you don't find all these on the air. That's not it. It wasn't really that bad. But this was one of the songs, and all the songs we played have been from the Chitlin Circuit, which this is part two of the Chitlin Circuit we mentioned last time. And what this is the Chitlin Circuit is traditionally African-American performers who travel around in the South and Southeast and Southwest and have a stable audience that's been there for years. And I'm looking at an article that I've got here in Memphis Magazine about the Chitlin Circuit. Yes, we have our own magazine. It's mm-hmm. called Memphis Magazine. And I believe you can find it at memphismagazine.com. But if you read about this, you'll see that you've got all of these people who travel. You're not really going to find them on the radio. They don't have mainstream, what's considered mainstream play. And one of the large pullout quotes described this as, the audience is stable, dedicated, and multi-generational. While the star system prevails on the circuit, as elsewhere in entertainment, the competition isn't as fierce as in mainstream music. Subsequently, the audience isn't as fickle as mainstream audiences. You know, what your kid likes today, they will hate 3 years from now. Your taste changes, et cetera, et cetera. Well, if you listen to all this, this sounds like music from the 60s and the 70s. Mm-hmm. It hasn't changed. And this is current music. We're listening to something that I think Theotis, that particular cut, was from 2 years ago. Is all. And it's got that kind of Memphis, I was telling you during the break, that it reminds me of like Pop Staples and the Staples Singers, and it's got that kind of deal. And the other thing I want to mention, we've been playing all these Jody songs, right? And so Jody, okay, what Jody is. Jody was the guy who stayed behind during the war. And so while all the fellas were out overseas fighting for their country, Jody was slinking around the backyard taking care of their women for them in the biblical sense. And so Jody is not always looked upon with high regard, but he's got a hell of a lot of songs.
Unless you're Jody.
Unless you're Jody, yeah. And so I was reading something in here about the history of it. And everybody that we've been listening to is from this Chitlin Circuit. Last time, I made a mistake of playing people I thought were still alive, and they're dead. Mm. Everyone is still alive that I've played so far, right? So far, so good. But this reading from the magazine, it says it's hard to put a date on when the Chitlin Circuit began. But 1946, during the war, was a boom year in the black entertainment business. African-American entrepreneurs all over Memphis imported big-name traveling acts. Robert Henry began booking shows at the Beale Avenue Auditorium. Bob Wright and William booked the Hotel Improvement Club and the Brown Derby. We had a Brown Derby. And Oliver Prince managed the Bungalow Inn. Andrew Sunbeam Mitchell was the guy who really brought this into light. He opened Club Tropicana, or ran Tropicana, and Club Handy. And all of these places, they're gone for the most part, but on Beale Street, this is where it all occurred. And so a lot of these guys, when they come back, they play at the New Daisy, they play at the festival down there, and they're all over the place. So it's something that
the ornamental metalworks.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's something that you know, you can go see this. History is still alive, And they got a couple of rules out. This is the clever thing about it. They refer to this as grown-up music. In a lot of these clubs, you got to be 28 or older to get through the door.
Being over 28, I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So they really are it's a different sort of genre, and I was real glad to see that it's still flourishing.
That's a little interesting little bit of history.
Yeah,
it's pretty much Memphis-centric.
It is. I mean, if you listen to all this, this is very Memphis-style, blues, soul, R&B type of music that we're listening to. And we've got one more artiste that we're going to play. And this is going to be our last final Jody song.
We're drinking our last beer of the evening.
Yep.
It's the German Alt. It's the homebrew that I did. You can get your kit from Northern Brewer. It's got 4 pounds of Durst Munich, Durst Dark Munich, Durst Pilsen, and Durst Medium Crystal, Spalt hops, and YE's 1007. I'm sorry.
And yours is a lot more effervescent.
Yeah, mine foamed right up.
We're talking about that's the good thing about homebrews. There's kind of a freshness factor to it.
It's pretty much the same color as the Blue Creek was. Uh-huh. So that kind of validates my homebrew.
And I heard you mention dark ale or dark malt. All right. Dark Munich.
Dark Munich 40.
Okay. And yeah. I'm looking over your shoulder there. It says 2 pounds. 4 pounds Munich, 2 pounds. So that's quite a bit.
Yeah.
Of the dark malt and Pilsen. Malt, okay.
But this is nowhere as dark as the Schwartz Alt beer that we had. So, anyway, I appreciate this, and I'll probably make the batch again because this one's gone.
Yeah, and this is one we let off the show with this, and we're finishing up with this. And I guess I like this because I think you didn't go nuts with the malt and the sugars as much. This has a little hoppier taste.
Yeah.
But it's very balanced, very good. So let's wind it up. This is, I guess we're off to explore the wiles of the beardom and hopefully bring back some good stuff. And that's all I got.
Thanks for listening.
See you next week.
Drive safe.
Oh, yeah. Something's going on. I don't know what it is. My baby's been acting funny since I started the midnight shift. town.